Everyone, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we give thee thanks for this evening, for this day that thou hast given unto us and brought us together in this place of worship with thy word before us. And Lord, we pause to give thee thanks for this opportunity. We thank thee for this precious word that is before us, and we pray, O Lord, that our hearts would open, that we would receive the blessings that thou dost intend for each of thy children. We pray, O Lord, that our hearts would be prepared to listen to what thou wilt say unto us, and Lord, may it be that it is only thy voice that we hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's reading and our meditation, let's turn and read with God's help from Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Ljubezni želim da se pročita iz Jevrejima, poslanica 12. glava. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we gather in this thine house of worship in this evening with a thankfulness, dear Father, in our hearts to be here and to look into thy holy and living word of life, dear Father. And we pray that thou would be in our midst, dear God, even as thou hast promised that thou would be with us, and that thou wouldst help us to accept whatever thy message is for us in this evening. Heavenly Father, we know that the messages we receive from thee will not always comfort us. They will not always be the things that we want to hear, dear Father, and that thou dost chasten us, even as we have read in this chapter. Thou dost point out areas where we need to correct ourselves. And Father, we pray that we would be accepting of that chastening from thee. For thou only dost correct us because thou dost love us. Thou dost love us so much that thou hast given us thine only begotten Son, that we would have life and hope and peace in thee. And Father, we know that if thou didst not love us, then thou wouldst not correct us. But thou hast loved us with a love that is so immeasurable that we cannot even comprehend it. And we will never be able to comprehend it here on this earth, dear Father. Our flesh, our mind that we have been given cannot possibly comprehend thy love for us. But yet, dear Father, we pray that thou would help us to give our lives fully unto thee, that our lives would be completely offered in the altar, that there would be nothing lacking of our service for thee, nothing lacking from our lives, dear Father. And we know, dear Father, that without thee, without thy correction, we would be lost, left to our own devices, left to do the things that we see as being good, we would be lost. And Father, that is why we depend on thee each and every day, and we pray for patience to run that race that is set before us, even as we have read. For this race is not a sprint, but is a marathon, so to speak. And we pray, dear Father, that our steps would be sure in thee, and that thy word would, which is the light for our feet and the light of our path, would illumine our ways, dear Father, that we would not trip and stumble, but that we would be sure in our faith and sure in our belief in thee. Heavenly Father, we pray for each and every one that is gathered here, that thou would help us all, each and every one, to focus on what thy message is. Help us, dear Father, if it be thy will, to leave thine house this evening with a thankfulness to have been here, and we hope and pray that throughout the remainder of this week, if thou would give it unto us, that thou would help us to rejoice in thee and draw closer unto thee and seek to serve thee better each and every hour and each and every day of our lives. For we know not when our lives are going to end, dear Father, but we trust in thee that thy plan and thy will are perfect. This and many other things do we all pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and the writing is to a church that has some problems, the church that has lost its way, a church that is stumbling about and forgetting the race that is set before them. And he opens this chapter having just spoken of the men of faith, the examples, as he defined what faith is in the previous chapter, and then gives examples, multitudes of examples of faith and what it looks like. And he says, so, and as he described all this, he said, that cloud of witnesses, he says, they're watching you. And you, he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But he doesn't stop there, because if we stop there, we don't really have the direction. But he lays out the perfect road map. He says, look at Jesus. He says, look to Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. He is the one who ran this race. And he is now, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we need to put our eyes upon our blessed Savior. Then we can run this race. And even as mentioned in the prayer, this isn't a 50-yard dash or a 100-yard dash. This is a lifelong course. It's a course that every day we have to wake up and know that the course that is set before us is meant to be a course that will bring about humility into our lives. It will bring about a more gentle person, a more kind person, a more holy person. It speaks of holiness in this chapter. And this chapter is really a chapter of hope. And we have to know what hope is. A hope is not, hope this. Or a hope is something that gives us a reason to move on and to go on in this race that we are in. You can't run a race with nothing at the finish line, where there's nothing there, no recognition, no anything. You're not going to run this race. But the race that is set before us is one that gives us eternity with Jesus Christ our Lord. So he says, look to Jesus. He is the one that had run this course. He has set the example, and he has finished it. He authored it. He finished it. And he is the one that will give us the grace that is necessary to run it every day and to finish it. Dear ones, when we look at our lives, we look at how we run this race. If we are running a race, we know that we will do whatever it takes to prepare for that race and to run that race. And there cannot be anything that is in our way that will hinder us in winning that race. And so we have to consider this race spiritually. Are we careful? Because it says here, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So now he's speaking of the sin which doth so easily beset us. But he doesn't say just the sin. He says every weight. So what is a weight? What is a weight? It's something that is going to take away from my ability to be holy. It's going to take away from my ability to display love. Is going to be something that's going to take away. So whatever, you know, we often go through life and we look to push boundaries or limits. We like to have something that I can get. How close is it sin to do this? Because if it's not sin, if the Bible doesn't say, then I can do it. And in that doing, we can look at it. What can that be? Well, is this movie wrong? Well, let's ask ourselves, is this movie going to help me be holy? Is it going to help me show the love of Christ? Is it going to help me? Is it a weight? Is it a weight that will hinder me from displaying gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance? All the things that Jesus Christ, looking unto him, so we cannot run a race and look, well, can I have this weight on me and still finish this race? Can I still have this and still finish the race? So everything, you know, we can get involved in all kinds of things. We can get addicted to gaming, let's say. We can get addicted to alcohol. We can get into addicted, and we can say, how far can I push this without it becoming sin? And that's where we fall into all sin, because we are taking away, we are discounting or the grace of God, who it says here that is, be careful, he says, that we don't fall short of that grace. And so grace is by no means something that we are to discount the holiness of God, where he closes this chapter. He says, our God is a consuming fire. You want to talk about that? You want to study the scripture on what that means? Our God is a consuming fire. Am I going to now ask myself, well, is it a sin to do this? That's the lowest question you can ask in life. Is it a sin to do this? Because I want to enjoy something, and I want to look for a means to do that. And so we get involved into things which rob us of our holiness, rob us of our joy in the Lord. And he talks here, he says, there is a meaning of discipline that comes from God. There's a meaning to that. And he says it here, quoting Proverbs, where he says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So, do we feel a chastening from God? And this chastening, you know, oftentimes we look at this, and oftentimes it comes in a manner in which we will recognize it as chastening when we are alert to our life. When do we go to bed in the evening, and before we go to bed, do we say our prayer? Do we reflect upon our life? Or do we buzz through a prayer so we can get in bed as soon as possible because the morning alarm is waiting for me? Or do we reflect upon our life? What was my course that I ran today? How did I run it? Were there weights all over me? Was the weight of anger with me? Was the weight of lust with me? Was the weight of greed with me? Was the weight of jealousy with me? All these things, and that leads us into the sin which does so easily beset us. If we get rid of the weights, the sin won't come. Because the weights are the things that we look for ways in which, how far can I go away from God? And still be a Christian. And we look at Christianity as being our mother. Well, we can have Christianity as being our mother, and God is still not our father. It's not about being a Christian. It's not about saying what I am. It's about looking at this encouragement that we have to endure unto the end. Make straight paths for your feet. Why? Because that which is lame is going to be turned out of the way. He says, so make the path straight. In other words, let that be healed. Heal those things. Corrections. Make those corrections. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And he says, follow peace with all men. Why does God say that? Because that's really some of our largest struggles are in our relationships. We discount one another so easily. We dismiss each other so easily. It says, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with that man that you dismiss, with that brother that you don't consider even a good Christian. Why? Because you're not going to see the Lord. But I'm a Christian. I'm on the race. I'm in the race. I'm not doing the bad things. He said, lay aside every weight. Every weight. And again, he says, look at Jesus. He says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Because if you look at him, you won't grow weary. And you won't faint in your minds. But if you lose your sight of him, if you're not looking at Jesus, now suddenly your walk, your way of your steps, your life, the way the hand that you've been dealt is just, it's too much. It's too much. I can't deal with this anymore. Why is this happening to me? And so on. Because why? Because we lost sight of who Jesus is. We took our eyes off of him, and we're not considering what he endured, one who was perfectly holy, perfectly pure, perfectly lovely in every way. What he endured for me, who am a sinner. And when I don't look on him, I lose sight of him. When I lose sight of him, my focus is on me. Oh, why me again? Oh, why me? And I'm going to faint. I'm going to grow weary. He says, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. We have to keep in mind, God is my Father. He's calling to me as his child. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Why? We know that despite every good intention of a father, he will either overcorrect his child or over-discipline him or under-discipline him or not discipline him at all. We're men. We're going to fail. God doesn't fail. His chastening is the perfect amount. Perfect. He's not a schoolmaster that is going to whip us and whip us and whip us until we faint and then say, and now try to do that again, what you just did. No. He's gonna chasten us with the exact amount that is needed to wake us up and to bring us into conformity. Why? Because he is a consuming fire. He is holy. He is pure. And we can't trifle with sin. We can't say we're running this race as we dilly and dally with sin. He says, so he says, so don't faint when you're rebuked by him. Don't give up. Don't look at that chastening as anything other than what it is meant to do, and that is to bring me back. Because he is my Father. And he recognizes me as his son. Because if I wasn't his son, he wouldn't chastise me. I wouldn't feel the rod of correction. And even by reading his word, oftentimes we can feel that chastening rod as we reflect. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? In light of his word, look back on our life. Look back on the day. How did we act? What did we do? How did we run this race? Or did I say, well, is it sin? Where did you read that? Where did you read that? Who says I can't do this? As we grovel down into the ground and we say we're running a race. He says, if you're without chastisement, then you're bastards. You're not a son. And he gives the example. He says, we have had our fathers of the flesh which corrected us, and through their correction, we gave them reverence. He says, shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits? If we're under subjection to those who have authority over us, whether we be as children or as young adults or adults, you know, when a policeman speaks to me, he has a certain authority that he can do certain things that someone else doesn't. And he's going to catch my attention, right? Because he has a greater authority than I do. And as the authority increases with various men, it's going to perk our ears up more and more. And we're going to listen. Well, he says, how much more should you listen? To our God, our Father, and be in subjection unto Him. He says, and live. And he says the reason he does it. He says, your earthly fathers, they chasten you for their own pleasure. To bring you to listen to them. Our heavenly Father chastened us for our profit so that we could be partakers of His holiness. To be a partaker of His holiness. That's why we receive the chastening rod. For our good. To be holy, as He says, be ye holy as God is holy. We can't do that by asking, is this sin? And where are we going to stop? We get into that in every aspect of our lives. You know, we talk about modesty. Modesty is not just the dress that I wear. That's not modesty. That's not where it stops. It's an entire lifestyle. It's an entire lifestyle of holiness, of showing that my life is hid in Christ. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. You receive the chastening. You're exercised by it. You're under subjection to it, and it brings peace. How many times, dear ones, do we see struggles? Struggles in as we pursue things in our own life, and we continue, we become a slave to our passions, our lusts, our desires, our addictions, and we yield to those things, and we yield and we yield and we yield, and we cry, and we're no good, and we just can't, and we lost sight of Christ. We don't even know what holiness means, what it looks like. We don't look at Christ. We're just looking at our needs, our wants, what we want. And despite it's proven to us day in and day out how evil that is and how bad it is and how much unrest it brings us and how much sorrow it brings our soul, we still pursue it. Why? Because it's all about me. I'm not looking at Christ. I'm looking at, can I have this much weight on me? And God can still overlook my sin. Can I still do this? And God can still. He says, lay aside every weight. Every weight. You're in a race. Christ is at the finish line. Christ is there waiting for you. But not only is He there, He sent His Spirit to be with me in every step of my race. To comfort me, to chastise me. When I go off course, He's going to bring me back. Is my eye on Him? Am I looking at Him? Or am I wandering around aimlessly? As the weight is accumulating and I'm stumbling and falling and can't get up. Follow peace with all men. And he doesn't stop there, and he says, and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Brother, sister, do you have a problem with someone? You have a problem with someone? The Bible tells us here, you will not see the Lord. You will not see the Lord. Now, I'm not going to try to explain this any other way than what it's written. Follow peace. If I have a problem with you, I don't have peace with you. And I will not see the Lord. And it doesn't stop there. Follow holiness. A holy God. His holiness, it talks about here, it was such that they couldn't, where the law was given, you couldn't even approach that mountain without being thrust through with a dart if you're an animal. Moses, who was with God, who saw Christ in the burning bush, who was with him, he says, I exceedingly fear. He was trembling as he's walking up this mountain. Why? Because of his holiness. He says, follow this holiness, without which you will not see me, he says. You will not see the Lord. Why do I want to dismiss having anger at you? Why do I want to dismiss having no peace with you? Why am I going to dismiss? I can be mad at you. Oh, that's because the way you're acting towards me, I'm justified in how I'm acting towards you. Why? Where did I learn that from? It's not from here. Certainly isn't from this verse. Because I'm allowing the weights to accumulate. And I no longer even recognize what sin is, as black and as dark as it is. I don't even see it. I don't recognize it. So terrible was the sight, where the holiness of God was there, trembling the earth when he spoke. His creation trembled at his voice. And he says, this is who you have to do with. You're not coming to Mount Zion, he says. You come unto the city of the living God, a heavenly Jerusalem, into an innumerable company of angels. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling to speak of better things than that of Abel's. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. God is speaking to us. Paul is telling this church, God is speaking. Don't refuse him. You're losing your way. He said, if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. You want to escape? No chance. You want to escape with your folly, your weights that you dismiss? Do you think you can still finish this race with the weights that are accumulating? I can still make it. He said, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Grace is not something that we can dismiss God's holiness with, because he says here, let us have grace whereby that through this grace we may serve God acceptably. What is acceptable to a holy God? Are those weights that I'm allowing acceptable to a holy God. Oh, he sees I'm just human. He knows I'm weak. Yes, he does. That's why he gives us himself. He knows I'm weak, but he gives me himself. And if I am under subjection to him, can I say I'm weak? I am weak, but thou art strong. Thou art strong. And so by his grace, by Jesus Christ, as I've looked on him, as I've considered him, as I listen to his voice, as he gives me his grace and himself to me, I then can serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear, because he is a consuming fire. Dear brothers and dear sisters, this chapter is one of hope. We have hope with a God who loves us, who chastens us because he loves us. Are we going to ignore, dismiss, excuse his chastening? He is a consuming fire. And so let us, as we are encouraged here, let us run the race, looking to Jesus. He is the answer for everything in your life. Everything in your life. There's nothing in your life that he does not have an answer for. For all of your addictions, for all of your lusts and all of your pride and everything you have, he has an answer for it. The problem is, I don't want to give it to him. I don't want to give him my addiction because he's going to take it away from me. But I want it. I want it because it feels good. It gives me a moment of some kind of convoluted joy. And then comes the sorrow. And then comes the excuse. And then comes the repeat. He just says, you will not see God. So may his word this evening, dear ones, find a place in our hearts, and read this chapter again. And listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he is led by the Spirit of God to reach out to the churches to show us the race that we are running is not one to be trifled with, but one that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and he will help us through it all. And with his help, dear ones, every struggle on this road, every exertion, everything is met with a joy unspeakable. So may he bless his word upon each of our hearts this evening. Amen.
The ways of the world are described in the Bible, not only in the chapter that we have read, but all throughout the Bible as weight. They are weights that drag us down. If we have the weights of the world upon us, then we will never be able to finish that race that is set before us. It will weigh us down, and we will not have the strength to endure. We must put those things off. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. These are weights. These are examples, as was mentioned even in the sermon, many examples of weights that drag us down. But putting on the ways of Jesus, bearing him, bearing his ways, is never a weight. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And again, back to Colossians, speaking just a few verses later, after telling us what things to put off, he says, but put on, therefore, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. These are the ways of Christ. We can put on the ways of this world and they drag us down, but when we put on Christ, it lightens our load. That's because his ways are the complete opposite of this world. In the chapter we've read, it speaks of Esau, who for a morsel of bread sold his birthright. Are we willing to sell, to get rid of the hope of life everlasting with our Lord, our Creator, for the bread, the things of this world that perish, that have no life? May God give us wisdom in those times of decision, those times we have to make decisions, that we would recognize who he is and what he is offering unto us. Let's take a hold upon his ways, which are light. May God bless his word in our hearts this evening. Amen.